In Romans chapter 13. So if you want to listen, or you can turn there or find it on your phone, it's in the New Testament. Go to your table of contents, it'll show you. We're in Romans 13, but we're only reading the second half of the chapter, verses 8 through 14. Paul says this: "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." May his word live in us. Let me pray for us. O eternal God, yours is surpassing greatness, unspeakable goodness, superabundant grace. We can as soon count the sands of ocean's lip as number your favors towards us. We know but a part, but that part exceeds all praise. We thank you for personal mercies, a measure of health, preservation of body, comforts of house and home, sufficiency of food and clothing, continuance of mental powers, our family, their mutual help and support, the delights of domestic harmony and peace, the seats now filled that may have been vacant, our country, church, Bible, faith. But oh, how we mourn our sin, our ingratitude and vileness, the days that add to our guilt, the scenes that witness our offending tongue. All things in heaven, earth, around, within, without, condemn us. The sun which sees our misdeeds, the darkness which is light to you, the cruel accuser who justly charges us, the good angels who have been provoked to leave us, your countenance which scans our secret sins, your righteous law, your holy word, our sin-soiled conscience, our private and public life, our neighbors, ourselves, all write dark things against us. We deny them not, frame no excuse, but confess, Father, we have sinned. Yet still we live and fly repenting to your outstretched arms. You will not cast us off, for Jesus brings us near. You will not condemn us, for he died in our stead. You will not mark our mountains of sin, for he leveled all, and his beauty covers our deformities. O God, we bid farewell to sin by clinging to his cross, hiding in his wounds, and sheltering in his side. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to introduce a word to you, and you may already know it. I hope you don't know it, but it has nothing to do with Romans. But the word is diverticula. Now, it sounds a lot like Dracula, but it's not. It's not Dracula's little-known cousin. It's nowhere near as lethal as Dracula, but it's basically... Diverticula is potholes in your digestive tract. That's about as far as I'm going to go with that description, but that's what it is. And these potholes can get filled with bacteria, and then you get what's known as diverticulitis, which is a very painful thing to have. I want to liken that to the law, because the law of God, in one sense, is like a jackhammer in your digestive tract. And it hammers one beat at a time. And it says this: do not covet. And if you are a covetous person, bam, a new pothole is formed. It leaves a hole there, and there's only two things that can fill that pothole: obedience and love. Those are the only two things that will fill it. Now, as one who has a plethora of diverticula, I have often wished that there was some magic potion. I imagine it being somewhat milky, maybe tasting like old-fashioned vanilla, that I could drink, and it would go through my digestive tract, and it would fill in all those awful holes, and I would feel warm and fuzzy. I wish that that was the case. I wish I could drink that, and it would coat the inside, and that's what would happen with the law in my life. And that's what would happen with the sin in my life, that there was something that could fill the holes that the law has shown me, that you are covetous, that you are an adulterer, that you are a murderer, that you are a liar. I need something to fill those holes. And what Paul says is there's two things that will fill it. Love will deal with the law that way. And secondly, he says, and you need a new pair of clothes. So we're going to look at two things: love and law, nightwear and daywear. That's it. Two things: love and law. Paul starts off this chapter by saying, owe no one anything. Now, this is pretty much a continuation of what he just talked about in verse 7, meaning don't go into debt with people with regards to things like respect and honor, and along with all the other stuff, with taxes and revenue and all of these things. He didn't mean don't ever go into any kind of debt, like don't ever get a mortgage. It's not like Paul is channeling an early version of Dave Ramsey. What he's saying here is that as best you can, do not owe people things. And what he means is that a lifestyle of indebtedness hinders relationships. And the reason that is because usually it's a never-ending cycle of guilt and shame and temptation to lie and to resent. So if you are in a position of indebtedness, whether it's you owe someone money or you owe someone respect or you owe someone honor, and you are not doing that, you constantly are racking up a debt of shame and guilt the temptation to lie. Now, what does this have to do with God's love or God's law? God's law is like a collection agency, and it's demanding payment of obedience. And either we pay with the currency of failure, or we pay with the currency of not quite enough. And so you get what happens in your life is that you owe. That's what the law tells you, is you owe. And so you get the Exodus recovery system. You get the letter in the mail, and it says, this is from Exodus recovery system. And it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And everyone owes. Everyone gets that letter. Because Jesus says, if you lust in your heart, you're in debt. You get another one from another recovery company. Thou shalt not murder. It says your ledger has red in it because you have hated someone in your heart. You owe. Thou shalt not steal. There's a negative balance in your account because you have robbed all sorts of people of their actual money or of their freedom or of their dignity. You've robbed God when you withhold your tithe. And so the recovery company is there. The collection agency is there saying, you owe. You shall not covet red again, because he or she has something that you want, that you think you deserve, that you're jealous because of, that you blame God for sticking it to you in your marriage or in your family or in your life or in your job or in your looks or in your health. And the law of thou shalt not covet says you owe. Paul sums it up, says basically any commandment basically knocks on your door and demands payment. It is time to pay. The biggest one with regards to our fellow humans is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, love does no wrong to your neighbor. This means every selfish act, every selfish thought, every selfish phrase that you utter lands you deeper in debt. Even if you believe or feel that what you are doing or entertaining mentally isn't hurting anybody, trust me, you owe. You'd be wrong, because we're all connected. My indifference, my indulgence, my laziness, my self-destruction steals from those around me, and the law demands payment. And so Paul says, if you want to pay, you got to love. Now, what is it that love can do? Paul is saying this is the currency that God gives you that you can spend freely, that you can be promiscuous in your spending. You don't have to count your pennies on this one. You don't have to budget it. Let it go. Have at it. So instead of raping people with your eyes, you can honor them. Instead of murdering you in thought and word and blog and gossip, I can sacrifice myself for you. Instead of robbing you of your dignity and of your freedom, I can give. Instead of jealousy and covetousness, I can applaud your station in life. I can rejoice with you that you have that car, that job, that marriage, that health. Love born out of a love given to us fills in the holes that the law has created. It's that jackhammer. It's coming through there and it's pounding on you. And it says, there's your covetousness. There's your adultery. There's your lying. There's your idol worshiping. And love comes in and says, I can fill that in. It's this derivative love. God loves us first and we pass it on. But we also use this bank account of Jesus' righteousness, his obedience. We go, here is the love. This is the best love that I can give you. But what also I'm going to apply to the holes in my life, to the disobedience that has been borne out through the jackhammer of the law, is Jesus' obedience. So when the law says you owe, you write back, paid in full. And here's the receipt. The receipt is from the life of Jesus and from a hill called Calvary. Paid in full. Think about this. You have a child that is out of control. You have a person in your life. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's your sister. Maybe it's your roommate. Maybe it's your parents. Who knows? Somebody that you're close to makes every possible wrong decision. They will never learn. Your boss is insufferable. He or she is the biggest jerk on the face of the planet. They're egomaniacs. All they care about is money, whatever it is. Your parents keep messing up. They are control freaks. They don't ever trust you. How dare they call you out when... Just look at their lives. Your friends betray you. Or keep pursuing paths that are leading you to death. And you try and pay with the law. You try and pay with your obedience. You try and pay with your obedience without love, and your interest will compound by the second. And you will be plunged deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And what Paul is saying is, all you need is the obedience of Christ and his love for you, which he commands you to spend on others. Your life will not look perfect. Your life will continue to look messy. Don't be fooled. But you will never run out of capital. You will never declare spiritual bankruptcy. You can still love. You can still plead the obedience of Christ. You can still do all of these things. And he says, as the law comes in and charges you and says you owe, this is what you do again and again and again. And you're not going to go to that bank account and find it insufficient funds. Jesus' obedience will always be there, spurring you on to be an obedient Christian. His love will always be there for you to share with other people. The ones who don't deserve it in your eyes. So love has that relationship to law. The second thing that I think this passage is talking about is night wear and day wear. Paul uses some language here, and he's talking about time appropriate fashion. He says, starting in verse 11, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. At the beginning of time, as Robert read earlier, we were naked and not ashamed. After we committed cosmic treason with God, we decided that the best way to cover up was with fig leaves. Then God comes into the relationship with Adam and Eve again, and he says, the fig leaves are not going to work. I'm going to make a covenant with you, and here's the deal. I promise you life. I promise that I will provide someone to give you life. And here's the way that I'm going to show you my promise. I'm going to slay an innocent animal, and I'm going to give you the skin of that animal so that you will have a real covering. The clothes of sacrifice are going to be the covering that you really need. The clothes of fig leaves, not going to work so good. So Paul's reference to time is that the whole of time, if you view time linearly, from the beginning, when God first spoke, let there be light, to the time when everything in between, think of all the history and all that stuff, Jesus coming, all that stuff, Jesus going back, and then Jesus coming again, that whole continuum of time, specifically the promise in Genesis 3:15 when he says, I'm going to provide somebody to crush the one who wants to kill you and give you life. Paul's saying, here and now, that promise has come true in the person of Jesus. In his life, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, that promise has come true. That time has come for night to go away and for it to be continually day. It's already happened, but there's still time to come. There's still a time to come when Jesus will come back, so that hasn't yet happened. It's already, but not quite yet. And so Paul says, I want you to be time aware. Nighttime is gone. The way he puts it is, it's far gone. And it's time for you to wake up. So here's the time appropriate fashion. Dark wear is not unlike fig leaves. The nighttime wear that Paul is talking about, the stuff that you wear at night, what it's seeking to do is to hide our guilt and our shame. That was the purpose of the fig leaves. So he says, think about drunkenness, and think about orgies, and think about sexual immorality and sensuality and quarreling and jealousy and the flesh and its desires. Go ahead and think about those things right now. I want you to. I want you to think about drunkenness. I want you to think about orgies. I want you to think about sexual immorality. You have freedom to think about those things right now. This is the wardrobe of darkness. And it's a faulty covering for guilt and shame. It's a faulty covering for our autonomous choices. We all make these choices and we say, I want to be in charge. Instead of being dependent upon God, I want to be in charge. And the faulty covering is drunkenness and orgies and sexual immorality and all of these things. We seek to blame other people. We seek to blame God. We seek to validate the lie that God is stingy and he has it out for me, that God is petty. And I keep saying that the covering is faulty because, like fig leaves, they don't do a good job of fixing our guilt and shame. Drunkenness and orgies and sexual immorality and all of these things, they don't do a good job. That's what you're doing this stuff for. That's what I do this stuff for. I'm trying to get rid of the guilt and shame. I'm trying to protect myself from the world out there that's trying to kill me. But it is not a real covering. And so what you and I do is we fool around, as Lewis said, with sex and drink and drugs and workaholism and the occult. We fool around with worry, anxiety, depression, obsession with politics and food and nutrition and safety and money and perfection. And we do it all to fill the holes because we want to drown out the guilt and the shame and the boredom and the continual numbness. And what Paul says is, wake up! That you don't have to do that anymore. That's nighttime wear. It's time for you to put on your day clothes. He says, day is at hand. So you cast off the dark clothes and you put on the armor of light. Every one of us will come to a place where the dark clothes, you'll realize they're not working. It's not doing its job. I've been able to piece it together here and there to kind of drown out the guilt here and drown out my shame here and validate my lies over here. But I can't keep the plate spinning. And you'll come to a place where you realize that the guilt and the shame and the validation of your lies is overwhelming. And you'll say, I can't have that anymore. I can't wear these clothes anymore. They don't work. And I hope this is the case, maybe both and, the promises of God will wake you up and you'll say, that's the kind of clothes I want to wear. Because those sound good. And what Paul is saying is, today is that day. When you confess that the rags of darkness have been your hiding place and your clothes of concealment, and that now, because night has been banished in Christ, you put him on. You put Jesus on. And he says, my clothes, just like, you know, in the Gospels, when he says, just take my burden upon you. Following me, you're going to follow somebody. That's what everybody does. You follow somebody. You think you're out there following yourself. Nah, you're marching to somebody's tune. If you will follow me, my burden is light. And the armor that I'm offering you is light. And it's temporary. Armor is only used for protection. But there is coming a day, and you don't know when that moment is. Could be when you walk out of here. Could be 2,000 years from now. Who knows? When the Lord Jesus will come back, and you will be ushered into the new heavens and the new earth, and you won't need armor anymore. And we can run around butt naked and not ashamed. Wouldn't that be nice? Because we don't need protection anymore. And he says it's easier than the cover of darkness. And it actually works. You got holes in your life that need filled. I would suggest that you run to the gospel. I would suggest that you run back to the law. I would suggest that you run to the law that has created these holes in your lives and say, I need somebody who obeyed that fully, and that's the person of Jesus. And you say, I got all sorts of holes in my life and I need it filled with love. And you go, well, he gives that to you too. You got it demonstrated for you here in the table. He obeyed fully so that we did not have to drink the cup of wrath. We get to drink the cup of life. He obeyed fully so that we can have the bread of life instead of the bread of affliction. It was because of His love that you drink this meal, that you eat this meal and you drink this cup to remember, to participate in what He has done. So as we think on these things, let us close in prayer and then we will come to the table. You have got the corporate prayer of response. It is the Lord's Prayer in front of you. Pray with me.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.